Hey, thanks for listening to the Ben Maller Show podcast. It's me, Ben. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Ben Maller Show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome. It's our number one, of our radio program. And this hour, we go to Pro Bouncy Ball, the rare and appropriate NBA monologue. Trouble in Lakerland, Frank Vogel being in the danger zone with the Lakers on the hot seat, the embattled coach as the Lakers tread water in mediocrity. Is that fact or fiction? We'll take a closer look. That and more right now in our number one. Becoming unglued. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are side by side in the air everywhere as we break into a gallop coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the best and planetarily powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the eye of the audio hurricane, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the Northwoods. Hope all is well in your little world. We are back at it again. Our lead this hour, coming from Pro Bouncy Ball, that is the rare and appropriate NBA monologue during the NFL playoffs, but we will have mostly NFL conversation. But I thought this story was pretty good, and several of you wanted me to unload on this topic, so we'll give it a swing. We go where the story takes us, and at this moment, we got a doozy in La La Land. Have you heard what's going on in purple and gold land? Well, maybe not. We have learned the Lakers embattled Frank Vogel is coaching for his job. This after almost being fired a couple days ago, and the Lakers lost a game by 37 points. Now, I had an NBA coach tell me years ago when I covered the NBA that there is not a 37, or actually it was a 40. He said 40. He said the number he used was 40. Said an NBA team that tries will never lose by 40. That the talent disparity is not that much from the most talented team to the weakest team. So you know that if a team wins by 40, the other team wasn't trying, that they quit, that they're lazy. That was a long time ago. It was a different NBA back then, but I believe that to be true. Even, you know, players have changed, coaches have changed and all that. And so that was the game, the almost 40-point loss that Magic Johnson had somebody tweet for him and call out the Lakers. LeBron issued an apology. Now, the Lakers rallied back, making the historians very happy. They beat the Utah Jazz on MLK Day. Now, regardless of that, we are told the hot seat is still toasty warm. It is not cool. Now, behind a paywall at The Athletic, owned now by the New York Times, we are told that Frank Vogel is being evaluated on a game-to-game basis and remains at risk of being excommunicated from the Lakers if the Lakers continue to take one step forward and one step back. All right, so let us discuss. It's an interesting topic. So the question, Frank Vogel being in the danger zone with the Lakers, is it fact or is it fiction? So it is absolute fact. It is the gospel is what it is. I'm going with the gospel. So I've got frazzled rope, artisan, and nuclear winter And we're going to tie all of these things together, and that will make the foundation of this Maller monologue. So, A, listen, this is a very predictable story. You don't have to be a distant relative of Nostradamus and a friend of Nostradinus to know that the Lakers had unrealistic expectations. Now, people have accused me, and rightfully so, of being a Laker hater, but I spew facts. I spit facts about the Lakers. They are treading water in the Western Conference, which is supposed to be great with all the bells and whistles, pretty mediocre. And I scan a few NBA games every night. There was only two games on the card on a Tuesday. I watched a chunk of the Wolves winning in New York, and then a little bit of the Warriors and the Pistons. Couldn't handle much of that. But the NBA is pretty blah as a league. There's not a lot of juice going on in the NBA. It's not a great season for basketball. Someone is going to be the fall guy. You got to have a scapegoat, right? Play the blame game. You got to play the blame game. Play the blame game. Frank Vogel checks all the boxes. If you've got your scorecard out playing the blame game, Frank Vogel's the perfect person to throw under the bus, right? He's a rather generic coach, right? Hobo. Vogel's bounced around the NBA, started as an assistant with the Celtics, went to the Pacers, became the head coach after being an assistant for a number of years, had a very unmemorable time in Orlando, and then went and has coached the Lakers. So that's the kind of guy who's expendable, right? He's expendable. And at this particular moment, Frank Vogel, I imagine like the trope from a classic old Hollywood movie. In my head, just imagine, if you will, that Frank Vogel is holding on to the end of this frazzled rope, right? He's holding the rope and by his fingers, just got his fingers on it, and it's a literal cliffhanger. And one by one, sure enough, each finger's losing its grip. Now, why is each finger losing its grip? Spoiler alert, LeBron James is peeling away finger after finger after finger with an evil laugh. Hey, ha, 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 Frank Vogel. All right, now part B of this. I do believe, based on the circumstantial evidence, that this has all the makings of a LeBron James special. King James screenplay. So we know when LeBron came to the Lakers that the Lakers were horny to win again. They had sucked. It was a wonderful decade of crap since Kobe retired. Even the last couple of years Kobe played, the Lakers were a joke, and it was wonderful. They were drowning in lottery balls, up to their nose in lottery balls. So they sold their soul for LeBron. And that means when you do business with LeBron, it's the full Monty. LeBron has carte blanche. It's LeBron's way or the highway. And that is what we're seeing here as a direct result. LeBron is the artisan. Right? He's the artisan whose handmade finagling has built this roster, right? LeBron is moving players around and all that. And it's kind of like if you were to make soup out of sewer water. I don't care how much garlic and pepper and spice you put in the stew, if you're starting with sewer water, it ain't going to be that good. But this is, for better or worse, this concoction is signed by LeBron. Now, what do we always say? One of our beliefs on this show, that human nature, nobody wants to be wrong. Nobody wants to admit that they're wrong. It's a very unpleasant experience. And there is overwhelming empirical data that shows that the Lakers roster is FUBAR, all right? And typically, NBA teams will wait for about 25% of the season. Most sports teams will say, well, let's wait about 25, maybe 30%, see where we're at. The Lakers have played more than 50% of their games. And you are what your record says you are. The Lakers are an average team. And whether LeBron wants to admit it or not, the Russell Westbrook trade was as big a debacle as we all said it was going to be on this show. Carmelo Anthony made a few three-point shots. He's a one-trick pony. He's washed up. The parts don't fit together in the puzzle. And LeBron, being the king that he is, he's got a very fragile ego, and he cannot admit that the sky is blue and water is white. And it would be shattering, right? It would be he can't do it. So the activities that have gone on this season have been embarrassing. And so that means LeBron is going to hit the defense mechanism. Blame Frank Vogel. It's his fault. Can't be my fault. I built the roster, and I am effing brilliant. It's the coach's fault. He's the bozo. And there's some people saying, well, Frank Vogel's not in as much trouble as the initial report. I don't believe it, because now there are other stories being leaked that are saying that Kurt Rambis, remember him? He was the guy in the 1980s that wore glasses in the Lakers Showtime teams and different era and was a miserable head coach. But he's very tight with Jeannie Buss. Last I heard in Lakerland there, Kurt Rambis' wife is like besties with Jeannie Buss. So he's a made man with the Lakers. And now there's stories being planted that he's undermining Frank Vogel, which sounds to me like it came from someone around Frank Vogel as a defense. If you were to put your finger on it, who's the one that leaked the story? Who benefits from the story? Well, Frank Vogel's the victim, right? That, listen, I'm trying to do my job, and Kurt Rambis is interfering. He's meddling with what I'm trying to do. All right, last word here. So it is seemingly inevitable that Frank Vogel will not survive what is the nuclear winter season for LeBron. And at this point, King James has slapped the figurative kick me sign on the back of Frank Vogel. And you hate to see it unless you don't, but the Lakers have a big road trip coming up. We're getting towards award season in Los Angeles, where all the Hollywood phonies get together, have big parties. And they need Staples Center and some other events at Staples Center. So the Lakers are going to be on the road for a while, and usually that does not go well. So they're stuck between a devil and the deep blue sea at this particular point. They have no appealing options to trade. The NBA rumor mill, every single day, one of you knuckleheads sends me a story about the Lakers trading for some amazing player. It reminds me of when I was doing sports talk radio a million years ago before the internet, and dudes would call me up when I was doing local radio in L.A. and say, yeah, I think the Lakers can trade the three guys at the end of the bench for, like, Allen Iverson. You know, it was that kind of stuff back in those days. And now it's the guys spreading the gossip that are doing the dirty work. But the reality is nobody wants the junk on the Laker roster. They've got a bunch of broken down older jalopies. And who wants that? Nobody wants that. They don't have many draft picks. They gave all those away for Anthony Davis and some other moves that they made. So what you see is what you get. And so the move here, the only card to really play if the team's underachieving and you can't make a big trade because you have a bunch of poop on your roster, what are you going to do? You fire the coach and you promote. The Lakers have a couple of former NBA head coaches, granted not good ones, on their roster. You promote David Fizdale, who gave us some great sound bites.
Take that for data.
There he is right there. He's coaching in Memphis. He pounded the table and walked out upset during a Spurs game, a Grizzlies game against the Spurs. Lionel Hollins is another option. He's a journeyman vagabond coach, very similar to Frank Vogel. His resume has actually been around longer than Frank Vogel. So both of those guys have loads of coaching experience with multiple teams. Fizdale was in Miami with LeBron, so I guess he would have an in on that. But either way, whether they do it right now or they wait another 2 weeks, maybe the All-Star game is not that far away. Maybe they wait till the All-Star break in the NBA and do that. And then LeBron can distance himself and play dumb and say, I have nothing to do with this. I just play for the Lakers. And a bunch of media toadies, the fanboys who worship LeBron, will say, well, yeah, LeBron's just a player. And everyone else will just roll their eyes and say, well, no, that's not the case. That's not that's going on here. That's just the reality. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. The Ben Maller Show as we press on here. We'll take your phone calls. If you'd like to be part, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. You can also hit us up on Twitter. Give us real-time feedback. We may even read your comments on the air. You can follow me on Twitter, and I send out some videos from these monologues, and you can watch those and get those numbers up, and that always annoys people at the company, which we like a lot. On Twitter, at Ben Maller, but also the other social media. We don't use those as much during the show, but you can check us out. The Facebook page, in fact, if you want to contribute to the podcast, that I do on the weekends, 8 days a week, audio content, 8 days a week. There's a posting at the very top of the Facebook page soliciting questions for the Fifth Hour podcast. So that's Ben Maller Show on Facebook. And on Instagram, I'm not that cool because, you know, I'm not an Instagram booty model, but I am on there, Ben Maller on Fox. That's Ben Maller on Fox on Instagram. So three different social media platforms, three different names. Not on TikTok. I know I should be on there. I should be, but I'm not. Not doing the TikTok thing, but those are the places you can find us online. This portion of the Ben Maller Show made possible by our friends at Discover Card. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense, slipping through the cracks and playing the system and calling out stupidity. We'll get to those stories and your phone calls. We'll do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Mic check. Mic check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
For better or worse, the Ben Maller Show is not general issue sports talk. The Maller Militia is all-inclusive, welcoming everyone from the country club to the trailer park. Facebook is a fun zone for all of us. You can chat with other P1s. It's free and easy and simple. Just like our page, go to facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
We'll get to calling out dummies and playing the system momentarily, but first, some real-time feedback. I know you're dying for that. Listener Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan, writes in, says, LeBron has been a coach killer for years. When things go sideways for his teams, LeBron isn't going to fire himself for bringing in Russell Westbrook, and Westbrook is virtually untradeable at this point, so the coach will take the fall. Well, the Russell Westbrook situation is fascinating because you would have argued that once he got to Houston, that he proved that he has, you know, he's just a kind of dead weight, even though he puts up just astonishing numbers. The low information fan is taken away by that. And they go, oh man, those are eye popping numbers. He's exciting. He's appealing and all that. Then you watch Russell Westbrook and you're like, man. But then the Wizards took him. So it's the greater fool theory, right? That you get traded around from team to team until eventually there's no greater fool. And in this case, it would appear the Lakers are the biggest fool of them all, that they took Westbrook at this point, at this age. And there's a video, I don't know if you've seen it, it's been bouncing around for a couple of weeks on social media. It's a sizzle reel of Russell Westbrook jump shots that he missed all of them, but they weren't just like missed shots. You know, a lot of NBA players will miss a shot. They'll hit the front of the rim or just barely miss the back of the rim. No. You got to find this here because Westbrook, it's like he's like a Renaissance man. He doesn't just miss the rim by a little bit. He's hitting it off the top of the backboard, like halfway up the backboard. It's a total debacle, right? Like a total debacle, and it's outstanding. And somebody put all these together. It's all from this year. You'd think maybe once or twice during a basketball season, like a great player's going to miss a shot, you know, once or twice, really bad. But what Westbrook's got about, I think it's a 2-minute clip, maybe even longer, of just, he's a Freemason. He's a Freemason just putting up brick after brick after brick after, and these are just, oh my God, unbelievably bad. JD in KC says that I am part of the problem. That's right. I am part of the problem. Well, I got to hear more about this, JD. JD says, you call him king. That goes to his head. Believe me. This is a byproduct of years of people putting him on a pedestal and making him God-like, talking about LeBron when he was just a mortal man that flops a lot. He's a crybaby and a sore loser. Jordan is the GOAT, says JD in KC. Well, that is LeBron's nickname. I did not come up with the name. Somebody else came up with that. Did LeBron come up? But I remember it was on a cover of a magazine years ago, back when people read magazines. They don't read them anymore, really. They just read stuff online and usually about the limits around 300 characters, and then you move on to the next thing. Let's see here. Some guy named Shine writes in, says, why is Frank Vogel the fall guy? It ain't his fault that he got dinosaurs on the court. Rob Pelinka picked them out the prehistoric age. Yeah. Well, if you think Rob Pelinka and his skinny jeans and skinny suits is actually picking the players, then you might want to open your eyes a little bit. You might open your ears a little bit and make that happen. So anyway, who else do we have? Let's see here. Maller Prop Guy says, thank you for another grade A Maller monologue. Perhaps I missed it. Did you address the King James Moto Dragon in the room? I think you meant Komodo Dragon, but that's funny. What are the Maller odds that King James names himself player coach? He's too smart for that, right? Well, Maller Prop Guy, that is not allowed anymore in the NBA. Who was the coach a couple years back? There was a coach that had just retired and they needed a player and there was some talk that he was going to be a player coach. But the NBA does not allow that anymore. But if they did allow it, I don't think, you know, that's a great question. Would LeBron do it? I don't think he would. I don't think LeBron would do it because then
wasn't it Steve Nash?
Was it Steve Nash? I thought it might have been Jason Kidd too, though.
Oh, yeah, one of those two guys, yeah.
When Kidd was coaching the Milwaukee Bucks, if I remember correctly, you know, Roberto, everything runs together. By the way, we need to spin the wheel of producers. Can we spin the wheel of producers? Do we have the wheel? We need to spin the wheel of producers. Koopa loops away, and you're saying, well, who the hell misses a Wednesday? Who misses a Wednesday show? Well, he had some concert to go to, and the wheel of producers!
A microphone throttler. What's up?
What's going on, Danny G? Making a rare and appropriate appearance from the Fifth Hour podcast. Welcome. Good to have you back.
Sounds like I came on the perfect night.
Yeah. Well,
slow news cycle.
Perfect?
Yeah, you start.
That's
with
not
your,
a slow news cycle.
Your love affair with the Lakers.
No, listen.
Yeah, I thought you were going to do another Rams monologue again to start
right,
the show.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, another Laker fanboy.
Ram it all day.
Side
ram
by
it all
side.
Night.
Yeah, there's
Stafford in his 17 throws.
I'd love to be a fly in the room when the company hires people to work on these shows. It's, are you a Laker fan? Check. All right, hired.
The greatness of the Raiders.
Jeez. Can we get a little bit of diversity as far as fans are concerned?
Oh, you have some here at the network. Brian Fenley, your boy, he's a Clippers homer.
Who? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, last weekend he was going off about how bad the Lakers were, and as a Clippers fan, he's so excited about it. And I was like, Brian, look at the West standings there, buddy.
Well, I think everyone's excited. You know, people that are that were raised properly are very happy the Lakers suck and that they have all these big name players and they're bad. And I think it's a good thing in a dark time in sports that the Lakers are incompetent and they are back to being blah. And it's great for us, and this is providing good talk radio.
You are solid a closet Laker lover.
That is incorrect.
You talk about that the Lakers incorrect. More than anything else.
I talk about the Dallas Cowboys a lot. I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan. During baseball season, I talk about the Yankees a lot. I'm not a Yankee fan.
No.
It's kind of how the job works. You know?
Not a good comparison.
We're not breaking down the Oklahoma City Thunder. Or the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, there's only like, there's all these.
Oh, we got a guy that wants to talk about Timberwolves all the time, though.
Well, I know. I mean, the guy's annoying. The guy was tweeting me after the Timberwolves game. You got to mention the Timberwolves. They beat the Knicks. I don't have to mention anything. I don't. All right. Anyway, good to have you here, Danny. And
Nice to be here. And I am happy that your NFL team won. Just so one team in your life is a winner right now.
Oh, I am living the dream. The Dodgers won the 2020 World Series a couple years ago.
Oh, Lakers won that year, too.
Hardest World Series of all time. Lakers had the easiest easiest championship in history in a bubble. They had 4 months off before the playoffs. It was the easiest.
Because baseball wasn't in a bubble.
But baseball, the most difficult. There were more teams in the 2020 postseason than ever before in baseball history. And that to navigate that, unbelievably difficult. The Dodgers did it, the greatest championship of all time. The Clippers made the Final Four last year, so I'm on a roll. I'm in a good period as a fan of my teams. Things are going very well.
Your Rams male dancers were going off Monday night.
Yeah,
the camera kept panning on them. Ram it all night.
Listen, those are some solid dancers. Right? It's a dance party. It's like a night at the Apollo at these
Half the land stopped screaming.
All right. Anyway, we'll press on. We got a lot of stuff to get to. And these phone calls, we're getting a little late here. So let's bounce the microphone over to Eddie Garcia, who's in, and he will update you on all the games of note. I saw Eddie when he came in. He had a little sweat going because there's only two NBA games. So he had to scramble to find some college basketball, some other stuff.
Yeah, there's plenty of college basketball. I know you're very excited about that. But only two games in the NBA, which is really tough news for all those NBA fans out there. But the Warriors beat the Pistons 102-86. Klay Thompson, 21 points to lead Golden State in scoring. First time he's led the Warriors in scoring since Game 6 of the 2019 NBA Finals.
Hey, Eddie, that's not that impressive. He missed like 3 years or whatever. Well, I mean, he's gone for at least two.
The point of pointing that out, that he has.
No, I know, but there's no way he could lead the team in scoring, Eddie, because he wasn't playing.
Yeah, so. I know. I understand that.
It's not that impressive. If he had been playing,
it's
didn't
not
lead the
impressive.
Team in
scoring. It's just a fact that, you know, he's been out.
It's kind of obvious. So. If you don't play, you can't lead the team in scoring. It's meaningless.
Okay. Thank you for chiming
You're
in.
Welcome.
The Warriors beat the Knicks in New York 112-110. Anthony Edwards, 21 points. Carl Anthony Towns, 20 points. Knicks are now under 500 at 22-23. Right
the Knicks
now.
Are back, baby. The Knicks are back.
First team out of the play-in round in the Eastern Conference.
Right? Oh, I'm sorry. That was last year. Now they're really back, though. Now they're back to being the Knicks I remember from the last 15, 20 years.
Top 25 college basketball, 12 ranked teams in action, including some upsets. I'm sure Justin Cincinnati will be very pleased to know that number 6 Duke lost to Florida State on the road, 79-78 in overtime. He's a big Dukie, apparently.
Duke's not supposed to lose. This is Coach K's last season. They're supposed to win every game.
They don't usually win every game, but yeah, no. More than not.
They usually lose in like the second round of the tournament. Isn't that usually how it goes? Maybe the third round?
Mm-hmm. Kansas State knocks off number 23 Texas on the road, 66-65. Battle of ranked teams saw number 18 Texas Tech beat number 15 Iowa State, 72-60. Wins in the top 25 for number 5 Baylor, number 7 Kansas, 8th ranked Wisconsin, number 10 Houston, 19th ranked Ohio State, number 22 Loyola Chicago, number 24 Tennessee, and number 25 UConn. Some NHL games of note: we had the Lightning over the Kings 6-4. The Hurricanes batter the Bruins 7-1. Flames over the Panthers 5-1, and the Canucks knock off the Predators 3-1. Coming up tonight, we have the New York Rangers hosting the Toronto Maple Leafs in our Discover Card Key matchup brought to you by Discover. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Did you see that Dak Prescott is sorry? He's not for the way he played and the way the team played against the 49ers, but he has issued an apology. After the loss to the 49ers, it was brought to his attention after the game that there was stuff being thrown. I guess the reporter thought it was being thrown at the Cowboys players, and he was not happy with that. And then someone corrected him and said, no, actually, it was being thrown at the officials. And then he said, oh, credit to them, credit to them. Yeah. That didn't go over well with the media, who was bashing Dak Prescott for his comments. And he tweeted out an apology on Tuesday. If you'd like to hear the apology, I could read it, or we could just talk about that he apologized.
Well, no, he didn't write the apology. I mean, somebody else wrote
it for him.
You think
somebody else wrote it for him? His agent wrote it for him?
Listen, if you say something on a Sunday and then it gets talked about on a Monday, and then on a Tuesday, you apologize. Doesn't that sound like the PR people for Dak Prescott said, we've got a little crisis, let's take care of this right now. We want to keep those advertising dollars coming in. We better apologize. Let's take care of this.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I think
exactly
he could write his own tweet, but,
No. See, because once it gets to that level, Dak's a very valuable people. There's a lot of hangers-on that are riding the Dak Prescott gravy train. And so when it gets to that level, you have PR professionals with a lot of diplomas that they have framed
on
their wall.
How do you get that job?
That's a great question. I don't know how you get that job. I did see a job, though. I've always said, Eddie, that if I don't have a radio job, and God knows the way it's going, who knows? You know, you never know.
Yeah, I hear that.
If I lose my job, I might work at Costco. And I've said for years I'd work at Costco and I'd push – yeah. Shopping carts. I saw a story. Somebody sent me this. Did you see there's a guy in England that makes $27 an hour? And you know what he does, Ed? This is great. I could do this.
What does he do?
He stands online. People pay him to stand in line.
Oh, I would never want that job.
No. If I was getting paid, I would do. I don't like standing in line. I will not stand in line.
I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Right? 27 bucks an hour.
To get paid to do that?
You put on some tunes or whatever,
exactly.
You listen to the radio.
Boom.
Well, couldn't you say the same thing about those guys who twirl the signs on the corner? And you want to do that job?
Well, they don't get paid $27 an hour, but yeah, this guy, some dude in London says he makes up to $217 at a time standing online. Can you imagine that?
I mean, what's keeping you from doing it? You know, you got
I don't think they have that in this country. This guy,
give it a try. How does he advertise?
Freddie Beckett is his name. He lives in London, England, and he says he makes up to $217 a day just standing online for people that don't want to do it. And he says he's been doing it for 3 years, standing online. That's
insane. Is he like Uber? Like, does he have an app that you call him and he shows up and then you wait? Yeah, this sounds like a bunch of bullcrap to me.
The guy's 31 years old, so he's in a good time in your life. You're 31 years old. And he says it's mostly waiting online for, like, sports tickets or concert tickets. But I am a little skeptical.
I misunderstood you. He's not physically waiting in a line. He's doing it all on the computer?
No. He's actually waiting online.
Okay. I did hear you right then. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. The one thing I might hire someone for would be at the DMV.
Yeah.
Because
that's a tough one.
I mean, they don't care. They're taking their sweet-ass time. They just don't even want to work. They don't want to do the job of the people that work at the DMV. And if you don't have
When's the last time you were at the DMV?
I need to go, actually.
Yeah. Well, you can make an appointment. You can make an appointment, but you still end up waiting.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, that $27 an hour, that's pretty attractive.
Everything else, I'm all right, pretty much waiting in line. But that's
what about amusement parks? Do you ever go to amusement parks? That's a pain.
Yeah. Well, we used to go all the time before, you know.
Oh, yeah. I used to have a Disney pass, right? I used to go there. Yeah. All right. Anyway, that's that. It is the Ben Maller Show. This portion of the Ben Maller Show brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition. It is always on whoever you root for, whatever sport you love to watch. The biggest games are even bigger in Vegas. So make sure to plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. Com. Real quick, we don't talk much college basketball on the show, but I loved what Mick Cronin had to say. The UCLA coach, Mick Cronin, former Cincinnati coach, who called out the idiots who are making decisions at UCLA. They have, for those that haven't been paying attention, there's three Pac-12 schools, Stanford, USC, and UCLA, that have essentially banned fans from attending sporting events. And they're only allowing like a few relatives to come out. It's completely absurd. And of course, they're doing it out of an abundance of caution. And so Mick Cronin, the coach at UCLA, said, I think he was talking about going on the road because they play in Utah coming up here. And he thinks it's going to help the team out, running out of the tunnel to play in front of fans. He said it's hugely demoralizing to our guys, the UCLA players, to play games in empty arenas. He said, and this is the money quote, when there's 80,000 people at the Ram game, he pointed out, which is really the epitome of ridiculousness and sums up the entire period that we're living through right now. It's insane to the membrane. Anyway, that was Mick Cronin with a solid, solid quote. Time now for the Who Am I game. We'll have the NBA pick'em coming up. Get back to the NBA.
Who?
There's a few games there. But here's the Who Am I game. So the Rams, who are on to the divisional round. They're in the Elite Eight right now, the NFL. Cooper Kupp has the most receiving yards in the regular season and postseason combined now with 2,008. He broke my record, my single season record. Again, Cooper Kupp. The Rams, he just set the mark on Monday night. Most receiving yards in the regular and postseason combined with 2,008. He broke my single season record. Who am I? The answer next.
I swallowed.
Whoa. Hey. Time now for the Who Am I game. But first, this portion of the Ben Maller Show made possible by Discover Card, a very valued customer. You deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that is why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations do apply. So the LA Rams Cooper Kupp has now the most receiving yards in the regular and postseason combined in NFL history with 2,008. He broke my record, my single season record. Who am I? That is the question. What's the answer? Got the NBA pick. I'm coming up here momentarily. Rob in Vegas is going with the Junkyard Dog as his answer. Who else? Page down. Oscar's going with Jeff Saturday as the selection, but that's a little odd. Who else do we have? Page down. David in Seattle says it's Dan Patrick living a lesser dream in a 1962 Ford Econoline van there. Econoline, rather, van. Let's see. Who else? Fred Barnett. It's a good-looking van. Fred Barnett from Chris in Des Moines, or as Roberto says, Des Moines, as his answer. Here's a name from the past. Telly Savalas from Rich. Tori Holt, guessed by Pauly D, as his answer. Who else do we have? Page down. Isaac Bruce was guessed by Dante. Let's see. Can't read that one on the air. Anyone from Minnesota was guessed by Alf, the alien opiner. Rocket Ismail from 00 Mexican in San Diego. Malibu Rubin going with former Pittsburgh Steeler Yancey Thigpen as his answer. Jake Reed of the Vikings, guessed by James the Machinist. Who else? Roddy White from Jason in Denver. That's his answer. Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan, says Jerry Rice. Do you have an answer, Eddie? Do you have a selection?
I do. It's former New Orleans Saints wide receiver Danny Abramowitz.
That's a good name. But unfortunately, that is not correct, Eddie. Maller prop guy got it right again. Bad job by him cheating. Shame on you. The correct answer is Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald, the Cardinals wide receiver back in 08. He is from Minnesota, but Larry Fitzgerald had 1,977 yards in a single season. Played 20 games because of all the extra playoff games. The Cardinals were in that year. They lost the Super Bowl, I believe, to the Steelers that year. And Cooper Kupp has played in 18 games. Jerry Rice is third, and he played 17 games in 1995 for the 49ers. And that leads us into the NBA pick'em. Oh, looky here. I have the first pick. What are the odds? Unbelievable. How did I do that? Amazing picks. I'll take the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Danny.
I got some good ones for Coop. Sonics legend, Detlef Schrempf.
Yeah.
Oh, Detlef.
Yeah.
Good pick.
High top.
Good selection. It's a value pick. Eddie.
Celebrity guest picker John the Pie Guy has selected Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, boring. Go ahead, Roberto, the back-to-back.
Nikola Jokic.
All right, one
and
more.
Joel Embiid.
Eddie.
John the Pie Guy has selected LeBron James.
Danny.
Dave DeBuscher.
All right. I will take Luka Doncic, I believe. And I will take – did Jokic get picked? I'll take Sabonis.
Yeah, I took Jokic.
All right. Danny?
Sabonis.
Sabonis? I think I picked him.
Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook. Interesting pick.